This morning, Pastor is away, and it is my privilege to take you, perhaps one last time, for me, at Combined Sunday School. You know, we have been studying about the theme, In Search of Faith. And last week, we learned about how we all need greater faith. Greater faith to faith, to face greater challenges in life and in ministry. And Pastor was talking about how the demon possessed men and how the disciples needed to have a stronger faith in life. You know, faith can be applied effectively in life and in ministry. Disciples had to face a great storm in the midst of the Sea of Galilee. They had seen how this demon-possessed man was possessed by this spirit called Legion. They had seen how the Lord Jesus commended the faith of the centurion. And this knowledge of the Lord Jesus and the faith that we can have in Him can be effectively applied in life and in ministry. And this morning, we're going to study about the faith of a few close friends. And it's important for us to apply our knowledge, our faith in life. You know, the cab drivers in London, they have to memorize all the roads and the lanes in London City itself. They call this the knowledge. They have to memorize 320 sample runs in the Blue Book. They call this the cabbie Bible. And they have to commit 25,000 streets. Roads, avenues, courts, lanes, crescents, places, yards, hills, alley, within a 9.7 km radius. They say that after you go through this course, your brain actually changes. Anybody's brain will change if you have to memorize 25,000 streets. And they have to memorize 20,000 landmarks, points, and points of interest. Wow. That is amazing amount of knowledge. And, you know, they're supposed to calculate two possible routes within seconds, okay, without looking at a map. For example, they did a test between King's Cross and the Big Ben. And they tried it out between a GPS and a cab driver. Okay, the GPS, this GPS route took 22 minutes. The cabbie, after he calculated, took 18 minutes. Okay, so your GPS is not the best way of traveling about. And, you know, it's amazing how they can memorize all this and be able to, within seconds, apply that knowledge. This morning, I took a cab here, and I went to the cab, and he drove out, and he said, "Hey, where's your church? How to go? That's the first thing he said. I said, "Well, you turn left, go on to the highway, come out Airport Road, and then you'll be there soon." Okay? You know, knowledge and faith has to be applied effectively. And when we do that, we will end up with an evidential faith. There will be evidence and fruit in this person's life. Okay? Faith is something that must be seen. It must be expressed. You can see this person's faith. There must be action. In James 2, verse 17, it states that faith without works is dead. James also states that, you know, he will show his faith by his works. The word show means to exhibit, to demonstrate. Faith is something that has to be expressed. If not, it is a dead faith. When a person truly exercises faith, you will see the evidences. And that's the value of a person's faith. It's what others see in the things you do and in the things you say with reference to Christ. And Christ will be the focus in all that this person does. Turn with me to Mark 2. And in verse 5, we read of how this is what the Lord Jesus said when he saw the faith of a few close friends. He said, when Jesus saw their faith, you know, the Lord Jesus was able to see the reality of their faith, these few friends who brought a paralytic to Jesus. Their faith was in Christ. It was the faith of a few close friends that Jesus saw. It was obvious. It was expressed. They responded to the needs of this friend. There was the fact of faith. It was a shared faith. There was this common faith that they had, all four of them carrying this man. They believed in one God. They believed in the Word of God. They learned to care. They had a shared faith. You know, we've been studying about how blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Because they have shown mercy to their friend, the Lord was about to show mercy to this paralytic. This was the faith that the Lord was looking for. You know, faith is a very objective thing. We begin with faith that is objective, and then it must become subjective. It is observable. It is expressed. You can see it in this person's life. You can see the love. You can see the fruit. And it was this faith that brought these few friends together to help this man. You know, this paralytic was literally carried by the faith of these four friends to go and see the Lord Jesus. In Mark 2, verse 3, we read how they carried this man, how they brought this man to the Lord Jesus. Okay, and the word there is the word, in Greek, is the word pharaoh. It means to carry. It means to bring, to bear one person from one place to another. So they bore this man from wherever they were to the Lord Jesus. Now, in Matthew 9, verse 2, the word that is used is not pharaoh, but is prosperous. It means to present, to having brought, to carry this person. They had this goal of bringing this person to Jesus. That's their aim. And then in Luke 5, verse 18, is another word. It's aspharo, meaning to bring into the house. See, there are different aspects to this idea of bringing. They carried him. They brought him to this aim in mind. And they brought him into the house. Because the house was filled, was full. In Mark 2, we read how the people had gathered together and there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. It was a full house. And they were going to bring him into the house. And they could not. They were not able to. You know, it's not easy to carry someone on a stretcher. When I was in the army, we used to do this thing called Kesavec. And there was once we were on a mission in the jungles of Brunei. And we didn't do very well. And so as punishment, we had to Kesavec this big-sized guy, four of us. And we had to carry him. And I tell you, my heart wasn't in it. I was so tired. And so because the way out was very hilly, there were a lot of hills. So you will go up, and you will go down, you will go up, and you will go down. So So we carried him on the way up. On the way down, the mentor was behind. They couldn't see us. So we would tell him, hey, you get up. You run down. And then we'll carry you from the bottom. And that's what we did for every gnaw. There were about 10 gnaws. And so every time, okay, we look back, there's no mentor. Okay, run. Get up and run. Our heart wasn't in it. And we were so tired. But there was one time, two times in fact, when one of my buddies in my section, he had heat exhaustion. He was a much older man than I was about, 18, 19, and he was about 40-something. And he had a heat exhaustion. He was screaming his heart out, and we had to casevac him. And we were about 5 km into the jungle. Now, this time, it was different. This time, I carried with all my heart. And we literally carried. It was just the beginning of the mission, and he had this heat exhaustion. It was late in the afternoon, and we had to carry him all the way up because the helicopter couldn't land, and we had to carry him 5 km out of the jungle. And you know, it's tough. It's not easy to carry. And you know what? I carried him all the way until my hand was numb. But I did it for him. See, these 4 friends, they did it in faith. They did it in faith for this friend. They carried him. They exercised faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There was tremendous purpose to place that paralytic man before the Lord Jesus. They could not bring him in because there was the crowd. In verse 4, when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. See, sometimes we stop short. Sometimes we stop short of going further, of persevering on. These 4 friends did not stop short. They pressed on. Okay, and they thought out of the box, if I cannot bring the paralytic, my friend, to Jesus through the door, then let me think of another way. And they brought him up onto the roof. They literally opened up the roof. Okay? And they lowered this man down. Wow. That is the kind of faith that the Lord Jesus is looking for. He's looking for the faith that will persevere, that faith that will overcome obstacles, that faith that will express itself in action. And they did not stop expressing their faith till they were able to bring their friend to the Lord Jesus. You know, I was reading in Reader's Digest of how there was this young boy, little boy, 2 years old. One day he was playing with his 2 brothers, and they were near a icy river. This is in Pennsylvania in USA. And all of a sudden, the mother was in the house, but the mother was looking out through the window, looking at the 3 sons. And all of a sudden, one of the younger ones, the older ones, came in and said, Grendel, the younger one, 2-year-old, was missing. And then started a frantic search for this boy. And so the neighbors came in, and soon the neighbors saw the boy stumped in the middle of the icy stream with his head down. So he jumped into the stream, rescued the boy, and the boy wasn't breathing. And the paramedics also came. There was no pulse. So they started CPR. They started CPR on the small boy all the way to the community hospital. And then he was going to be airlifted to the trauma center nearby. All this while, it's been an hour had passed. They were still doing CPR, no pulse. But they brought the boy to the trauma center, this pediatric intensive care there. And there was this doctor. His name is Frank Melfer. And he was on duty. And so he tried. They did all kinds of things to try to revive the boy. And after 1 hour and 40 minutes, they were about to prep him for some surgery. And they tried one more time. And finally, there was a pulse. All this while, the family was praying. The church got knew about it, and they were praying. And after 1 hour, almost 2 hours, this boy was revived. And when he came, when he was well, he could sit up. There was no brain damage. Someone said, "Oh, most probably because of the eyes, the brain was preserved." But a doctor said, "You know, I've seen so many types of situations like this. This is the first time I've seen a person gone without a pulse for so long and still be able to respond." And he said, "This is a miracle." You know, sometimes we need to persevere. We need to press on. We need to carry on in faith and not let go of faith. And these four close friends did not let go of their friend. They carried on. They literally carried him in faith to the Lord Jesus. You know, for us, what can we do in terms of exercising faith? You know, Bingo is going to go for another procedure this coming week. He's going to put a stent into his left artery, in his heart. And, you know, let's pray for him. Let's continue to pray for Beng Ho. During the week, I've been in touch with Jerry Jung. And she went for a procedure the following week ago and to deal with her collapsed lungs. And during the procedure, her intercostal muscles, the muscles that is in between the ribs, were damaged somehow. And so for the last 1 week, she has been in a lot of pain because that affects your breathing. And I've been praying for her, and I've been conversing with her. And it's tough. Every day, she has to sit on a chair. She can't lie down. And she's on heavy painkillers. And it's tough. It's one thing after another. And it's going to take maybe 5 to 8 weeks to recover. You know, let's bring our brethren to the Lord in prayer. Let's not pray. Let's do our part in bringing Beng Ho and Jerry Jung to the Lord in prayer. Let's continue to pray for them because they need our prayers. You know, our challenge is to pray in faith. And here, when they were able to bring their paralytic friend to the Lord, there was that power to forgive sins. Okay, and he says, "Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you." Son. Now, some of us may think that maybe this paralytic did not have any faith. Well, actually, he did. He had some faith. Because here we see Jesus calling him son. That is very important to note. He had some faith. His friends had some faith. They had a common faith, shared faith together. And because they exercised faith, the Lord was able to forgive this man. Of course, this man had some sin problem. And so the Lord said, "Your sins are forgiven you." There was faith in this man too. But the Lord had to deal with his sin problem. And there was that power to heal. The Lord Jesus was showing to all that he was truly divine. He had the power to forgive and to heal. And both required power to achieve. You know, an evidential faith is what the Lord looks for and rewards. He grants power, the power to forgive. You know, sometimes we feel that our sins cannot be forgiven. Sometimes we feel that We have done so many sins. We have repeated our sins again and again and again that, you know what? My sins cannot be forgiven. And we feel like giving up hope. Well, this morning, we read of how the Lord Jesus has absolute power to forgive. He is our advocate. He is the one who can bring us before the Lord and plead for us. And he's the one who can forgive us of our sins. And this man, after experiencing that, he was full of gratitude. Turn with me to Luke 5, verse 25, 27. Luke 5 and verse 27. We read, immediately he rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, departed to his own house, glorifying God. Now, that shows that he has faith in God. He was glorifying God. See, that was his response. He exercised a bit of faith. The Lord healed him. The Lord forgave him. And now he was responding, glorifying the Lord. Okay? And here we see the evidence of faith. The Lord's forgiveness was received with great gratitude. Now, let's go back to Mark, and we see a bit of a contrast now. In Mark chapter 2, and in verse 7, some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? And we see a group of people, leaders, with no action. No faith, nothing. Just sitting there and complaining. You know, it's so easy to just sit there and do nothing and complain about everything. You know, this past 8 months of taking cab, I really enjoy taking cabs because you get to know all kinds of people. From time to time, you see one or two who's a Christian, and they're very nice. And, you know, but more than often, you see the taxi driver complaining. And there was this guy that was quite extreme. The moment I sat in the cab, he started going about our government, about why our government, you know, the housing is so expensive, why cars are so expensive. And then he was talking about, you know, nowadays it's so hard to make a living. And he grew louder and louder until I felt very offended. So I put on my earphones. I just didn't want to talk to him. And I look out, and he even talked louder after I put on the earphones. And he kept going and going. And then halfway through the journey, I had to take out my earphones, and I told him, can you please stop? Can you just focus on your driving? And then finally, he kept quiet. He waited 5 minutes. Then he started again. And he went on and on and on. You know, it's so easy to just sit there, do nothing, and complain. And complain. You know, some bloggers are like that. They just sit in front of their computer, type whatever they want, and complain about everything about Singapore. You know, it's just so easy to sit and do nothing. These are the Pharisees. These are people who are supposed to be the religious leaders. Okay, you turn with me to another passage. Go back to Luke 5. And we see a long list of people who were just sitting there and doing nothing. Luke 5, in verse 17. Now it happened on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee. Now, there were many towns. There were many, many Pharisees from Judea and Jerusalem. Now, of course, Jerusalem is the HQ. Okay? So, HQ, Jerusalem, Judea, the region, and then even further, Galilee. And, of course, these people from Jerusalem despise those people who are from Galilee, okay? And so there were a huge group of people sitting there doing nothing, just complaining. Where else these four men carrying their friend, facing obstacle? Maybe if the Pharisees will move out of the place, there will be a bit more space in the house. They could have done something. Move out. Get out. Don't just sit there. You know, it's just so easy to sit there and do nothing. You know, last week I was talking to an older gentleman after church. And I had a wonderful conversation with this man. And he was telling me about how he used to be a doctor. And you know, people would come to him and talk to him. And then along the way, he was saying that, you know, in life, it's good to have health. It's so important. And then, you know, to be able to pray. Then he asked me, you know, Pastor, you know, people come to you and tell you all your problems. Who do you tell your problems to? And then I told him, well, when people come to me with problems, I bring their problems to God in prayer. Every problem. So actually, I take on the problem, I feel for these people, but I bring them to the Lord in prayer again and again and again until I don't feel the burden of that problem. I feel with these people, of course, but I go to the Lord in prayer. And you know, that's what we should do. We should pray even more. We should seek the Lord. We should continue. You know, there must be action. There must be care rather than just sit there and do nothing. You know, it's hard. Someone said, it is hard to be shining when you are whining. You should tell that to Donald Trump. You know, these Pharisees and teachers of the law, they just sat there and do nothing. You know, this is what faith is. Faith is something that can be seen. It can be observed. This is what evidential faith is. Now we look at the example of Matthew. Okay, let's turn to Matthew 9. Once again, we see this idea of an evidential faith. Matthew 9 and in verse 9, we read, and as Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew. And of course, Matthew was written by Matthew. Okay, and sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, follow me. And so he arose and followed him. Now, Matthew at this point of time is still living in sin. He was still a tax collector. Okay, sometimes we think that following Jesus, we have to be good enough to follow him. No. Here it is Matthew, he's still in sin, and here the Lord calls him, follow me. And he responds. Sure, he must have heard about the Lord Jesus. Maybe along the way, his heart was a bit convicted. He had some idea about who Jesus, but he was still in sin. And here the Lord calls to him and say, follow me. Okay? Akuluteo. This word means to follow by accompanying him, by following as a disciple. And this is what the Lord Jesus did with reference to Matthew. You see, sometimes faith is expressed. Faith is evident. But sometimes faith is not evident. Faith needs to be brought out. And that is what the Lord Jesus is doing with Matthew. Faith needs to be brought out. Faith needs to be encouraged. Faith needs to be challenged. And faith can be brought out. And in the case of Matthew, he was still in sin, but the Lord Jesus was calling him, follow me. And faith was brought out. And that's what Matthew did. He arose and he followed the Lord Jesus. And so the Lord Jesus was bringing faith out of this man. He was going to challenge the tax collector that even though he was still in sin, you know, to come out of it, to forsake sinning, and to follow the Lord Jesus. And so it was faith that needed to be brought out. You know, Matthew forsook everything to follow the Lord. This was his faith. It was evidential in action. He left all his money, his job, to follow the Lord Jesus. Now, it's important to note that the paralytic, Jesus did not tell the paralytic, follow me. Can you see that? But instead, to Matthew, he says, follow me. Why? Why? Why did Jesus not say to this paralytic, follow me? You know, sometimes we feel that, oh, you know, I've been forgiven. The Lord has done much for me. You know, I need to follow him. I'm obligated to follow him. No. The Lord Jesus did not tell the paralytic, follow me. Can you see that? Because following the Lord Jesus and being healed, being forgiven, they are two separate things. So here is the paralytic. He responded by glorifying the Lord. Great. That's one aspect of knowing, having faith in the Lord. But following the Lord is a separate thing. And so he calls to Matthew, Matthew, follow me. And Matthew responds. He responds. He sets aside his sin. He sets aside his way of living. And he follows the Lord. And straight away, he calls his friends together and they have a meal. Okay? And it happened as Jesus sat at the table in the house that, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? When Jesus heard that, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You see, here we see the Lord Jesus showing great mercy to Matthew, to call him. And here the Lord Jesus was expressing mercy in eating with tax collectors, with sinners. Then once again, we see the Pharisees. What did they do? They just observe and complain. Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? Again, we see this problem. doing nothing to reach out, no action, no compassion, no mercy shown. And so the Lord Jesus tells them, go and learn. Go and learn this word that is given. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. What is it to know? How can we say that we know God? What are the evidence of saying that we know God, that truly we have the knowledge of God? It is when you show mercy. It is when you express graciousness. It is when you are able to show mercy to sinners and not judge them. That you are able to be with them, eat with them, encourage them, comfort them, help them to go beyond where they are. You know, this was something that we want to consider. You know, the Lord believed in this tax collector. Turn with me to 1 Timothy 1 verse 12. We read of Paul, of how the Lord Jesus counted Paul faithful. And then this is one of those very moving verses in the Bible. Okay? In verse 12, we read, "And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me because he counted me faithful." Now, I'm sure Pastor has explained this before. This counting Paul faithful was before he went into ministry. So before he even stepped into ministry, the Lord Jesus already counted Paul as faithful. Okay? He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. The grace, verse 14, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus." You know, the Lord Jesus believed in Paul, even though he was still a sinner. When he called Paul, he was a sinner. And yet the Lord believed in him. You know, I really thank God. I thank God for his mercies. I think all of us should really thank God for his mercies. If it wasn't for his mercies, we wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here. I would not be standing before you as a pastor, teaching, you know, sharing a view from the scriptures. It is only by the Lord's mercies that I'm here, that I'm alive, that I can serve, that I have a privilege of having front row seats to seeing the Lord's grace and power and his blessings in Bethany. Yesterday, I was walking with Deacon George. He said, "Mitch, have you seen the new tiles on the second floor? It's white in color." I said, "Sure, let's go ahead and take a look." And we went down and we took a look at the tiles, and it was white with you know, little strips of gray, and wow. So all of a sudden, the place looks very bright. And you know, I'm excited. We went round looking at the sanctuary, at the office, my office, my new office that I've been waiting for the last 1 year, bearing with the drilling sound every day. You know, I'm deaf. I'm becoming deaf. Oh, wow. It's been a year of drilling every day. Reading Mark, reading Matthew. I say, "Lord, grant me grace. just 3 more months. 3 more months. And, you know, matter of 2 more weeks, we'll be moving to the new office. And I really thank God. You know, the mercies of the Lord. You know, I'm thankful. I'm truly thankful for Bethany 4. And I'm really looking forward to it. You know, why am I looking forward? Not just because of the new office, not because of the new place. Because it means that we can have a bigger ministry. It means more people can come into our midst. It means that we can minister to more people. Moses and Eugene will be coming in. Great. Now there'll be 7 pastors. And we can reach out to more people. More people can be saved. More people can be discipled. More people can be reached out to. You know, more people can experience the mercies and the grace of God. That's what Bethany 4 is about. And I'm looking forward to it. And so I endure in faith, persevere in faith every day. There was one day, I think Thursday, when I couldn't stand it anymore. And I had a back pain. This past 1 week, I've been having a really bad pain. And I was having a headache. And then there was the drilling going on. Wow, I couldn't stand it. So I had to stand up. And I went to, of all the places, I went to AUPE. And I went there, sat down, and I found relief. Of course, the karaoke singing was horrible. But it was better than being here for the moment. But you know, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the Lord's grace. And I think we should show grace too. Our part is to be able to express mercy to people. Those who are not well, they need a physician. Those who are sick, they need help. Learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. You know, having an evidential faith, it's about action. It's about care. It's about following the Lord. It's about showing mercy. It's about following through with life. On the other hand, when there's no faith, there is no action. There is no care. There is no following of the Lord. There's just sitting around and grumbling with people. During the week, I was reading a book. It's called A Higher Call. And it's about how during World War II, there was a bomber that was crippled by German fighters. And it was flying over enemy lines. And half the crew were injured. Some died, but they were in desperate state. And here came along a German ace fighter. His name is Frank Ziegler. Now, he's an ace pilot. He could have shot this plane out of the sky. But when he was flying behind, he saw quite a few of the crew injured. One was already dead. Blood was streaming down from the tail end of the plane. And you know what he did? He showed mercy. He didn't shoot down the plane. He escorted the plane out of Germany. And wow. You know, he felt for the crew. And as he flew with the crew, the German bombers, the gunners, they looked up, they saw this American plane, a bomber, they wanted to shoot it down, but because this German fighter plane was escorting it, they didn't shoot it down. And they brought the plane, he escorted the plane all the way out of Germany, and then he saluted them, and then he flew back. 40 years later, the two pilots met. And they shared stories about compassion, about love. The crew from this plane went to Frank Ziegler with all their families, and they hugged him and said, "It was because of you. You showed me mercy. You didn't shoot me down. I am alive. I have my family. My family owes you our life." Wow. That is mercy. That is true faith. That is evidential faith. Well, may we be able to practice this. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray and thank you for the example of these few close friends, of how they cared for their friend and how they brought their friend to Jesus. They persevered. They acted in faith. They cared. And Father, we pray that you will help us to also show mercy, to care, to be able to show our faith in action to people. And we pray also, dear Lord, that you will help us to also follow the Lord Jesus, to be able to follow through with our life in showing mercy, in caring, in being able to be a blessing to others. Today we remember Beng Ho and Jerry Zhang. We commit them to you in prayer, that Lord, you will be with them. Grant them your mercies and your grace. We pray, dear Father, that as a church, we will commit them in prayer. We ask, dear Father, for your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.